Hey guys, this is Ricky Stewart. Let me make it very clear, I do not endorse the Raiders Review with Blake and the Pork podcast. Go the mighty Raiders.
Blake and the Pork.
Blake and the Pork. Blake and the Pork.
It's Raiders Review with Blake and the Pork.
Hello and welcome to Raiders Review with Blake and No Pork. The Pork is not here this week. He's decided to have a week off, but he sends his regards. He'll be back next week, and he wants everyone to know that he hasn't lost faith. He's still confident of a top four finish, and last week was just a blip on the radar. So miss you, Pork, and we'll catch up with you next week. But I am, of course, joined once again by he's not a really special guest anymore. He's part of the crew. Matt, how are you, Matt?
Yeah, I'm good, buddy. I wasn't good. I have a dilemma every time the game's on at like 1 or 2 in the morning, and it's, do I wake up and check the score and either have a blissful 2 hours where you know you're going to win and it's like, great, or a fallen couple of hours where you're like, shit, we lost, I'm just going to watch it, or do I watch it and not know the score? And I usually do that. I try not to check the score, but then it's just anxiety. But Jesus, that game was, it was bad. It was awful. Bad as bad gets, wasn't it? But no, happy to be here. Miss Pork, obviously. The pod's not the same without him, but I'm excited to put a shitty week behind us and look forward to seeing a new debutante and maybe even a different edge combination, which is going to be interesting what happens on Sunday.
Yeah, it's, you know, hopefully that game is a bit of an aberration. Ricky's picked the side, and look, he's given everyone a chance to redeem themselves, more or less. The only changes, enforced changes. But we'll talk about the game a bit more later on, but let's get into the news first, just covering off on a few things. So the first bit of news I guess we should talk about is the Corey Hutawira-Naira stuff. Some more reports came out over the weekend saying that the club have stood him down effectively, immediately from all training and playing duties. They're still paying him his salary, but, and he's working, if you watch New South Wales Cup, he's the blue trainer for New South Wales Cup, he's getting around the place. But a lot of the reporting seems to be a bit mixed and a bit contradictory, I've found, over this. And the latest sort of report said that the Raiders medical staff have said, you know, they're not confident with him playing, but he's currently seeking a second opinion that, you know, might say otherwise. A lot of the reporting, I think, goes back to that story, Matt. You remember a while ago in the Canberra Times where they spoke to one of the professors at the ANU who said, in theory, he should. There's no reason why he can't play. But, yeah, it doesn't look like he's got a clearance anywhere. He's got a defibrillator fitted now. And, I mean, there's people like Christian Eriksen in the Premier League who are playing with defibrillators, but it's very different. It's very different.
And Tom Lockyer, the captain from Luton, plays with one. He's had a couple of incidents with his heart, but it's not a collision sport. It's not the same. Yeah. You're not getting compression in your ribs and in and around your heart. I mean, I don't know. It's a scary thing because he wants to play. But, you know, anyone who's had heart issues or knows someone that's had heart issues, it's pretty alarming. And I personally didn't like the way that it was reported around Christmas because there was one article saying he's good to go, and then immediately there's one saying he stood down.
Yeah,
and he had to come out on social media and said, I want to play.
Yeah,
and this article on the weekend said Canberra Raiders stand down Hutawira Naira.
Yeah,
but if you read the bloody article, they're paying him full pay. You know, so we're not exactly standing him down. We've just put his care first and foremost while still paying the guy. So, and then they put it to Ricky. Have you looked at compensation in the salary cap? And he said, no, we haven't even contemplated that.
No.
So, I'm sick of the way that our club's being reported in the media, and we'll get to that when it comes to this weekend. And Jesus, what happened in that?
In that presser,
it's just it's embarrassing, mate.
I think that the club probably needs to get a bit more on the front foot with the reporting of this Corey stuff, because initially they ran. You know, the first article was that one where the mole spoke to Ricky and they said no, he's not coming back. And then I don't know, it's a bit sort of hazy and.
I'd be surprised if the league would insure him personally.
Exactly.
I don't see it.
Exactly. So, that's the problem.
But you'd like the club to get on the front foot, probably do a presser with him, then have him more involved in the club. And because, God forbid, what happens if we sign a player next week and then 2 days later, Hutawira Naira stood down permanently? It's going to look bad. You know what I mean? Or if we're going after salary cap compensation, it's not going to look right. Yet we're actually been paying the guy.
We're signing someone next week.
No,
you know something. Someone coming down from the Gold Coast. I actually saw a picture of David Fita in Civic over the weekend. Yeah. I think it was fake.
I saw that picture as well. I don't think it was fake. I thought it was legit.
It's quite convincing.
There is someone else I'd like to see come down the Hume Highway. That's he's a fast food kind of guy, you know. He likes
the Colonel.
His chicken.
The Colonel. Yeah,
but
the other bit of controversy that sort of happened in the last few days has been Trainergate out of Shark Park. I don't know, bit of a storm in a teacup this one.
I don't think so. No, I don't think so at all. I think
we know the Sharks are dirty.
Yeah, the Sharks are dirty, and I'd love to hear Paul's opinion on this, because no one hates a trainer more than
trainers on the field. He wasn't on the field; he's on the sideline.
Yeah, behind the red line, as a Sharks fan, I'll tell you. But no, I mean, come on,
it's Paul.
He ran straight past him when he was kicking on purpose. He knew exactly what he was doing.
He probably said something as well, like "chew on your boot" as he went by, or something like that, or
"yeah, chew on your boot."
Yeah,
but if Fogarty kicks that, we're down by four, down by six. Sorry,
six. Yeah, the back. The fact he didn't kick it meant pretty much the game was that gone at that point. And, you know, he was a bit unlucky with that kick. And then, you know, Nico Hines sort of jagged one as well. And that went in. So just, was in our day, unfortunately. Next bit of news. I don't know if you saw the Raiders are trialing some concussion mouthguards. Did you see that story?
Yeah, that's actually been tried already in the Super Rugby in the Kiwi teams. And a lot of players are throwing them out because it's actually letting the shock is letting the doctors know that they've had a serious enough shock to be called from the field. So players aren't even, you know, reeling out of a concussion or what might look like a concussive type tackle, and they're being called off.
Mm.
So I don't know why we've put our hand forward for it. We always seem to be the club that likes to do this, you know, like we put our hand up for the combine girls out of the Vegas thing, and now we're putting our hand up for this. I love that we did that for the girls out of Vegas.
That's cool.
But this one seems a bit odd, to be honest.
Yeah, the whole thing about, like, there used to be this theory that mouth guards could actually help prevent concussion, but it's actually been pretty much dispelled that. And the other interesting thing, you know, with CTE is, like, concussion's just part of it. Mm-hmm. It's actually more repeated sort of brain rattling than it is than actual dudes getting, like, obviously getting KO doesn't help, but there's more to it than just that. So I mean it's a tough issue, and who knows where the game's going. I mean, people blowing up about you know, they want to change the kickoffs, make all kickoffs short kickoffs, or so you don't have those big, you know, collisions, and Brayton Astor saying state of origin will be dead, and
it won't be dead. What they've done here in the NFL, which is something which they're probably considering, is they in the NFL now, and as I'm sure a lot of listeners know, they force the chasers with the kickoff to start flat footed at the ball. So you don't get that 5 to 10 meter run in.
Oh, right.
So and invariably what it's done is now the kickers just kick it dead and the ball starts on the 22, which is what we don't want to see in our sport, obviously. But
why seven tackles were brought in. Because Jamie Soward was kicking it dead so that Greg Inglis wouldn't return the ball.
Couldn't run back.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't mind the seven tackle set thing, but
the seven tackle set thing is too much of a punishment. If you're like in golden point and you miss a field goal, I think it's too much of a punishment. If you deliberately boot it dead. Yeah, but I don't know. The seven tackle.
I don't think it should be as if from a field goal you shouldn't get it, and I don't think you should get it from a grubber inside the 22.
Yeah, fair enough.
So if you're booting it from like your own half or 40 meters out, yeah, but if you're putting in a little attacking kick from inside the 22, then it shouldn't be.
No. Another rule. Change the rules. PBL.
He'll
change the rules at the drop of a hat. Next week there'll be a new rule. Some of them will be black and white, and some of them will be open to interpretation. Feeder watch. It's not the same. It's not the same without the pork to do that.
I could try and copy it, but I wouldn't be as good. Feeder watch.
That's pretty good. It's the story that refuses to die. Joey Johns
because of you. It refuses to die because of you. We're pissing off half the listeners talking about it, to be honest.
I know. Every time I do a David Feeder post on Facebook, which they're all tongue in cheek anyway, people blow up. But you call for a poll from Raiders fans and from listeners of the show to find out if they still wanted to sign David Fifita or not. And the results are in. They do not. So 65% voted no and just 35% voted yes out of 191 people. So it's a pretty decent sample size. Vote.
But what I find fascinating is a lot of the answers when you put it out there on X were, who's he going to replace, Hudson or Zach? You know, we've still got Smelly as the club captain, guys.
I know.
And then one of your answers is the right answer, is we can have better than 17 players. Like,
well, that's Ricky's. Yeah, that's Ricky's quote to Tim. Yeah, of course.
You know, like right now, there's all this uproar at the West Tigers about, you know, Jaden Sullivan and this young Lockie Galvin, and now Luai's going there. You want a strong squad. And
yeah. Did you see the Roosters
squad better?
Yeah, exactly. The Roosters' approach is if there's a good player out there, we'll get him, and then we'll work out where they fit in. Because if you saw the Roosters team round one, some of the players that missed out.
Yeah, right now on their edges, they've got Butcher and Crichton are getting run out. So Tupanua and Sia Wong aren't playing this weekend, or they're on the bench. Right. So there's nothing wrong with having that. And, you know, clearly,
and Billy Smith
injuries already.
Was fantastic last year when he finally came back from all his injuries, and he hasn't had a run yet. So yeah, if you're in a position to bank as many good players as possible, So I don't think there's a lot of people say, as I do, the reason not to sign David Fifita is they don't want the circus, you know, and they're kind of a lot of people like myself were keen initially, but have since gone off the idea. But yeah, the sort of the endless circus people don't necessarily want to be part of them. We kind of got a squad at the moment that's kind of less focused on, you know, a few stars.
Yeah,
and more focused on the team.
But then a few of our players on the weekend didn't act like a team, did they? They tried to do it all themselves, and it was embarrassing.
Yeah, and not many covered themselves with glory. I did think Ricky was a bit hard though when he said that none of the players can hold their heads up high when Tarpany's sitting there right next to him, and Taps was excellent.
Taps is the only one, and I'm sure he would have said to Taps he was the only one, and he really was.
Absolutely.
Danny Levi wasn't too bad, ladies and gentlemen. it was a rough performance, and we'll get into the game. But when it comes to, we are tongue in cheek when it comes to signing Fifita. But if there is someone on the market and they're available, we're always going to think about it. And I don't think signing a player like that's going to make our club weaker. And right now, we've got the money from, remember, Hodgson's money, Croker's money, Whitehead's leaving, Whiten's money, and potentially Hadawita-Nida's money. So
Nicky Kotrick's money as
and
well.
Nicky Kotrick's money. So there's a lot of ways that we can make this squad stronger. But, you know, there's also some players within our top 30 that I think are probably bigger priorities than signing David Bloody Fifita. And, you know, there's a guy that didn't get named this weekend who's killing it in Cup, and you and I both think he should get his shot this weekend in grade. And I'm telling you now, there's no way that St. George aren't trying to sign him.
Bulldogs.
Yep. And I think we need plenty of clubs.
Who knows? Yeah, who knows? I mean, he's still off contract. We're talking about Trey Mooney, of course. He's still off contract. Nothing's been announced. But, I mean, same token, maybe he's already done a deal somewhere else. We don't know. Yeah. Hopefully. I haven't heard anything. So, hopefully that's not the case.
I think he's pretty happy where we are. But who's the other watch that we're looking at?
We've got about four watches this week.
Do we?
Jack Whiten watch. Of course, I watched with keen interest Jack Whiten going up against the Bulldogs. So that's one of my favorite fixtures of the year, the Good Friday match. When I was a kid, man, Good Friday was the most boring day of the year. There was no sport on. There was only two channels in Canberra, and both of them one was showing like actual like songs of praise. And then on Channel 7, there was like a black and white, you know, movie about Moses or something. And yeah, having a game to watch on Good Friday is in the afternoon is the best. But I watched that game with keen interest. It was a typical Jack Whiten performance. At times brilliant, and other times just Jack's gonna jack, you know, as other people have said. And one of the first, he scored a couple of tries, but then like, you know, I think the first or second Bulldogs try that kind of Tracy scored in the corner from the Blake Taps kick, Jack just came flying out of the line and left the space. And there was another time where he made a break and just went to pass the ball. And did you see, watch the game? He just
no, I saw the highlights.
He fumbled the ball cold. Yeah,
I saw that. I saw him fly out of the line. He did that in the first game against the Roosters as well and got caught out. The one against the Dogs, that was a pretty exceptional kick. The good thing when Jack flew up to put pressure on Taff, Alex Johnson flew up with him, which is, if the center goes, the winger has to go. And we can get in, we can get into the way that we're defending on the edges in our game. But geez, that was an exceptional kick to get that try behind the corner with Connor Tracy. He's a great center, isn't he? Like, just, you notice, you give him half that first try that he scored where he just ran straight over. Jacob Carraz was exceptional, and I've always loved seeing Jack in the centers. And
he looked good with the ball. I think defensively, I don't know if he's, it's more that it's, you know, it's not his ability to tackle. Obviously, it's never been an issue, but sometimes his decision making, like that, when you're that close to your line flying out, I don't know.
It doesn't, one of the good things that we've seen with our club, and it didn't actually happen on the weekend, but the way that we're holding and we're forcing them to the edges, and then we've actually defended that really well up until the weekend, but we had a couple of new combinations again, so it was harder for us.
On the edges, that's Schiller. Yeah, maybe.
That Schiller try where he led in Mulatalo, if you look at it again, Tomoko was pissed. Yeah. He was really angry. And you don't often see...
he's the nicest guy. He's one of the nicest guys.
But he had his player covered, and Schiller just bit. And it was, you know, and that's something which... Kotrick has done in the past, and I think Schiller will be better for it, you know. That game on the weekend was hard anyway.
So we did it. We did a another poll. This was, I can't remember if this was the first poll and the final was the second one, I think it was. But this was, where would you like to see South's finish on the ladder this year?
Mm-hmm.
So premiers, 2%. So I think a couple of South's fans might have snuck in and voted for, but 2% went for premiers. Then top eight, 10% went for top eight. Outside the top eight was 40%. Mm-hmm. And then 48% of Raiders fans are hoping the South get the win soon this year. And that was out of 218 votes. So it's a pretty decent sample size.
I was a few drinks deep when we were doing the Potter last week, and I was thinking, you know, maybe they come second and we'll win. But then when I watched them play, I was like, nah, bottom eight. I don't want them in the top eight.
Nah, they could get the spoon. It's just, I think I said last week, I've said before, I reckon their salary cap's completely out of whack. And signing Jack Whiten wasn't what they needed. And they were lucky to win that game against the Bulldogs. And if the Bulldogs didn't have, in Drew Hutchinson, possibly the slowest half you've ever seen in your life, the Bulldogs probably would have won, because he was sort of through about three or four times, and you haven't seen anyone run that slowly and difficultly, awkwardly since
the Terry Campese field.
I'm gonna repost that footage. Since Terry Campese, like when he was coming back off after his, you know, multiple knee
injuries,
and couldn't run. But yeah, that Souths, I'm still not convinced that Souths are gonna turn it around and be the top four side or premiership side that everyone predicted. And yeah, I, for one, won't be disappointed if they don't make the finals or, in fact, get the wooden spoon. Brad Schneider watch. Did you watch that game? Panthers.
I did. And there's a lot of different opinions about it, because everyone's sort of saying it was a system player and he just played the system. And look, it's probably not an easier half back position in the comp than playing behind that pack and that back three or back five. I mean,
if you're going to slot in anywhere, you want to slot in.
But he's a good player. He doesn't have the pace of a Sanders, you know, and he doesn't have the out and out running ability of a lot of other halves. But when I see him, I see a first grade player, and I always wanted to see him play 5-8 for us alongside Fogarty, and he never did. He always played either with Frawley or with Jack, and because he filled in when Fogarty was out. Yeah. And I think he even played, did he play on the left or the right? He might have switched a couple
last
of times.
Night.
But on during the week he played on the right, because Luai played on the left. And he didn't miss a tackle. I think he made 29 tackles. His fifth tackle options were great. His kick chase was great. He's a good football player. Yeah. He's not, like you said, when we watched him in reserve grade, it's not like watching Sanders or even KO Weeks, who carves up reserve grade.
Yeah.
But he's a solid first grader, and he'll probably get that 5-8 spot when Luai goes, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. It's after that performance, everyone's raving about it. That you got to admire though that performance of the Panthers, because, you know, you think about, like, what are the all-time great teams, right? And you think of the Raiders great team of like 93, 94, or 89 to 94 effectively. Mm-hmm. And you take Ricky Stewart out of the team after he broke his leg, went out in straight sets, couldn't win a game. The Panthers lose Cleary, who's, you know, their most influential, best player. Just keep on keeping on. It's incredible.
Yeah, the Raiders back then, every year we got picked apart. And you'll remember, like, we lost a lot of our forwards and Lazo left and I think Brent Todd left by then. But the Panthers, they've really identified not only the way that they play, but the key to the way that they play. And it's big middles, aggressive defence, line speed, and then that back three, back five, just doing so much work. It's admirable, and it's a machine. And then, you know, Luai doesn't have to play that type of game when Cleary's there because they're always putting themselves in the best position at the end of the sets. They don't deviate. They never deviate, which is what's admirable. And that's, I was listening to a guy do a podcast the other night about what creates a good team, and it's not the flash. It's not like what the Cows can do at the moment, even though I think they're overrated, or even Brisbane. It's what makes a solid rugby league team is effort and the consistency of effort and how you can differentiate good teams from bad, because everyone can play well, but anyone that can consistently get up with effort, especially in defence, week on week on week or year on year, that's a great team, and this team's got that.
Well, that's what the Storm always...
Probably Melbourne.
Yeah, well, that's what the Storm always had, but it's kind of, there's been some cracks, I reckon, you know, over the last few years in the Storm from that approach. But I mean, that's always, that was always their thing, wasn't it?
The Storm don't have the junior development to be able to keep coming up with outside backs. You know, imagine if that's where the one benefit Penrith have got is when they've lost a winger, someone else has come up. You know, when they lost DWZ and they lost... Who's the fella that went to South?
Josh Mansour.
Yeah, they lost Mansour, and then someone else.
Ricky tried to sign.
You know, like that's the thing, right? And then To'o steps in, and then, you know, Taruva steps in, Taylor May, Tunga, like they lose these players constantly, but it's brilliant.
But I reckon wing is the easiest, you know, it's where you have the most depth and the easiest people to bring up. And that's why, you know, sadly, because he's a local junior, I think we've got to let Nick Cotric go. Because there's Michael Osamua, there's, you know, all these people that you can just come up and do that job. Hopper, who will do it for a lot less money as well, you know. And that's what you know, Penrith have identified. We're not going to pay these outside backs huge money. If they leave, they leave, you know. And that's, and now Taruva is supposed to be going to like Dragons or somewhere, you know, he's supposed to be the next one that's going to leave, but I'm sure they'll have someone else, you know, to replace him as well. Okay. I said it was a big week for watches, and we've got our final, our fifth watch for the week, fourth or fifth watch, Ethan Sanders watch. I didn't get to see this game, but it was on Fox, wasn't it? New South Wales Cup match with the Eels, and Ethan Sanders played and apparently did very well.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is probably the best watch out of all of them. This is the Rolex compared to, like, Fifita, for God's sake. Because I was really nervous when Moses went down that Sanders was going to get his shot, he's going to play well, and then they're going to offer him some money. And they've now clearly either we've already signed him or something's gone down, because he was starting at halfback pre-season, and now arguably he's behind Talangi, obviously Moses.
Arcee.
And Jean Arcee, so... we're allowed to talk to him, you know, publicly next week after this game. So maybe he stays.
Is it
over
after round six, or is it actually round?
I thought it was after round six.
Yeah, but this is round five.
Okay, well, so that's a long after. Weekend. You can just it's after the next one.
But it's soon.
Yeah, I mean, look, Fogarty's playing great, and I'm not trying to replace him. But if we can get one of the better halves, junior halves in the country, at our club, then we get the first chance to have a look at him in our system and see if he works. You know, we've done that with Schneider. We've done that with other players. And I'd love to see him at Canberra and get his shot. You know, Fogarty's now probably playing for his last contract. So I'd like to see him down there.
He did just re-sign, I guess, what would most likely be his last contract. But I think the thing with Fogarty is that because, like Cody Walker, they didn't actually make the big time until they were older. I don't think there's as many miles on, you know, it's like... Jared Croker was pretty much done at 32, but he'd already played, you know, since he was like 18 at the top grade, you know, pretty much consistently every single week. Like he never, until a couple of years ago, Joe Crack had never even played New South Wales Cup. He went straight from under 20s to first grade. Whereas these guys, and it's probably better for halves actually to debut a bit later because there's so much pressure on the young ones. That I think that Fogarty, you know, moving forward, probably can go to like 34. He probably could be another one like a DCE or someone like that could go till, you know, a few more years.
Yeah, till later.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he obviously, he doesn't get tackled as much. He's not such a running halfback, so he's probably not getting bashed up as much. Yeah. But, look, this kid's got skills and the club's clearly identified him. I know a number of the coaches have, and they believe he plays sort of similar to Mitchell Moses. So who knows? But that's,
he's bigger though than Moses, isn't he? He's not small.
No, he's not small. You know, and Moses, when he came into the league, there was a lot of raps on him. And then he took that big deal at Para. And it really took him a couple of years, I think, to actually fulfill his potential and change his game a little bit. And it might be the same with Sanders. But, you know, he's obviously got a connection there with Ethan Strange because they played together, and Trey Mooney. Puru, they all played together in that State of Origin. So hopefully they get back together and who knows, it'd be exciting, I think.
Yeah. Okay, that's enough watches for this week. We should go into the most popular segment of the show. Well, we say that. We assume it's the most popular. It's the one I probably enjoy the most.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's your favourite segment. Ask Clown of the Week!
Do you want to go first, Matt? I've got a few. So you can go first.
You go first then, because you go first.
Okay, so I'm going to send a quick shout out to Blocker Roach. 3 weeks in a row we've had him. 3 weeks in a row we've had him on the... What have we done? Just something different. Just to change, just something, something apart
just
from...
Just give us Spud Carroll or Brent Tate.
Spud Carroll. He's going to have to get a call up from this Brent Tate. Justin Hodges.
Corey Parker.
Corey Parker. I wonder if Corey Parker will be back at GIA this Sunday. I don't think
he's
we'll see him on sideline. He's not welcome. I've got a few. So, Ask Clowns, I've got a few. So, Blocker Roach, definitely. Justin Pascoe. Do you watch the interview with Justin Pascoe on James Graham's The Buy Round?
No, I heard about it, though.
Oh, it's just the most awful, shockingly embarrassing thing you've ever seen in your life. He was basically talking about the show, the Welcome to Tiger Town show, and he was sort of saying how he envisaged it being it's basically supposed to be based on Sun Until I Die. And he kind of said, yeah, it was good, but, you know, it focused too much on the serious football stuff. And there weren't enough of his pranks and his, you know, him being a jokester in the show. And then he went on to retell the story of how he liked to play a trick on Brett Naden. He called him into his office and said, now, listen, mate, just tell me what you did, because I already know about it. I just need you to own up, you know, so I can help you out. And probably Brett Naden has no idea what he's talking about, in the office sweating bullets. And then finally Justin Pascoe goes, ha, 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 I'm only kidding, mate. I'm only kidding. I was like, Jesus, you idiot. You unprofessional.
That's a favorite Brett moment, isn't
it? It actually reminded me of an actual scene from The Office. And yeah, it's just what it's one of those, to be that unself-aware that you think that that's a good story to tell about yourself. And then you got the guy, Brett Naden, poor guy, an Indigenous guy that's bloody been in trouble for, you know, various things and drugs and, you know, playing up. You don't want to bloody put that poor guy through,
I know,
any unnecessary anguish or stress. So yeah, he's absolute. I think he's Ask Clown of the Decade. And if he ever turns up in rugby league in any capacity ever again, I'll be very surprised.
Yeah, no, he won't. He won't. Mine revolves all around, I guess mine's like the circus around the Tigers, and it was like blow up Leichhardt, now blow up Acor. And
yeah,
I don't know, man. Like, and it's the one thing that I'm also struggling to come to grips with, and it's not necessarily an Ask Clown, but it's got to do with the interpretation of the ruck. Now, I mean, we can get into this later in both games, but I don't know what you thought of this, Blake, but the speed of the ruck and how the referee on the weekend against the Sharks decided that we were cheating in the ruck and defence constantly, that it was just repeat set, repeat set, repeat set, repeat set. That didn't benefit us at all. And the week before was the opposite, where they allowed such a slow ruck.
Yeah, generally this season, I reckon there's a lot less six agains. And there's quite a number of times where I've thought, oh, they're going to give one here for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And they haven't.
Well, I think the weekend, either the NRL or that referee decided that the Raiders want to slow it down.
Mm. Well, everyone wants to slow it down.
Yeah, exactly. So, but I mean, my ass clown, I've got a few, I guess. But mine's like just the commentators when they don't actually see what I'm seeing. Like the video referee didn't pick up that Kai Arrow, whatever his name is, dropped the ball.
Yeah. Danny Levi's try, though, I wasn't blown. I only saw that because they didn't show it until, you know, saw the front angle afterwards where you see he clearly dropped the ball. But when Danny Levi went over for his try, I was a bit like, whoa, that looked a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, I know you've got the Levi-Levy blinkers on, so you
I've got, I'm all blinkers. Yeah, just all I'm seeing is Danny Levi's hair and muscles. And the other
good
one was
man.
The Ronald Mulitalo captain's challenge. They got them back in the game. We're up 18-0 and Mulitalo does a captain's challenge and they slow it down. And then the video, the bunker's like, oh yeah, the tackle was complete. And then Hudson Young re-engages and knocks the ball out. Mate, what tackle is complete the minute the player's on the split second the player's on the ground? Not one tackle in the NRL.
No, that was ridiculous. But Hudson Young, like I said, he got done for that other one the other week as well, last week as well. I reckon he's one of the players that, you know how they used to have tip sheets? Our referees had tip sheets on certain players, and Sean Fenton was like always like one of the most penalised players whenever he played for us. I reckon Hudson Young is on the tip sheet.
Yeah. I'm sure they don't have tip sheets, but they know who the repeat offenders are, and Hutto would be one of them. But, you know, there's an art in that. Like, Cameron Smith was one of the greatest at it, you know what I mean? So it's about doing it and doing it subtly. You know, Elliot Whitehead's good at being the third man in. Josh Hodgson was fantastic at it.
The stripper.
Jared Croker was great at pretending to take a dive when someone ran into him. You know, there's different tricks that different players, when they get a bit older, they get smart around it. And
yeah.
What we noticed on the weekend is we weren't smart about anything.
No. There's bits of that game where you start to get, then I was like, oh, I forgot. I think I instantly just tried to erase most of that game as soon as it was over. I certainly didn't do a Lenevez and watch it again. I haven't even watched I've seen a few clips like that Iroh I was in no hurry to watch that game again.
I haven't watched it again.
I'm scarred.
It was.
Did you know the result or not? You did know the result.
No, I didn't. I didn't know the result, and I turned it off after the Iroh try, and then I obviously watched the end of it. But the amount of non-structural but just one-on-one errors that we made, whether it was, you know, the first try, which was Hosking not covering Trindle on the outside, and he's made a couple of errors in that lane, and they really attacked our edges. They attacked him, and they attacked the combination between him and Fogarty, and the one between Ethan Sanders and on the outside with Seb Chris. But the Schiller showing Mulitalo the edge and then not being able to cover was bad, and then Savage switching off. And I mean, I remember telling you, one of the reasons why, you know, Savage was maybe being slightly overlooked at fullback was because of his ability to switch off.
Yeah.
And not stay in the game,
the kicks, you know, where he's just assumed that it's going to go over the sideline. So he hasn't chased it.
And nine times out of 10, it will. You know?
I know. But it's a rugby league ball and it broke to the left and they were in under the posts. Yeah. That was a tough watch. Also, just even, you know, when we went to, we're kind of going into the game summary now. When we went into, you know, the lead 18-0, we weren't actually playing that well.
No, and that's why I think the game fell apart, is because it came too easy.
Yeah. And the players thought, that this is all going, everyone watching thought, oh, this is going to script as we expected. And the points came pretty easy. I mean, there's some good moments from Savage. But even like before we scored the tries, there were a couple of times where we were just dropping the ball.
Our handling was awful. Yeah. I don't know anyone. I know Brendan was there, but I didn't want to talk to him because I obviously found that he knew the result before I did. But I didn't know how humid it was. I mean, Warren Smith on the call was saying it was pretty humid, but the handling was atrocious from both teams. We completely dominated position, not possession, and we're up 18-0. It should have been 30-0, maybe 24-0.
Yeah.
And then when it started to fall apart because of some one-on-one errors and one-on-one, you know, misreads, rather than get into our process and back the fact that we've got the best kicker in the competition, some of our players decided to do it on their own. And whether that was, you know, trying to win the contact in attack, which you got to forgive, or whether, you know, you tackled and you're still wrestling around, and you got to try and forgive that too. But, you know, you tackled and Savage makes that mistake because he's trying to wriggle.
Yeah.
Horsburgh's dropping the ball because he's trying to bump someone off. I mean, I am losing my mind with Hudson Young's handling. It's two or three games in a row when we've had a set on the try line and he's run that hard line and dropped it cold.
Yeah.
One was a hard take against the Warriors with that Levi pass and he still dropped it. But this one on the weekend was, it's unforgivable. Some of those mistakes, people get dropped for that. And I'm not saying Hudson Young should get dropped, but my brother who played junior Brumbies and 21s rugby and played Harold Matthews Canberra and Randwick and played overseas, he got dropped a couple of times just because of one or two errors. He had a pretty common one or two error in his game handling now and then, and the coach would say you need to get that error out of your game. And I'm not trying to call for Hudson Young to get dropped, but he's dropping a few balls, man, and it's hard because what's happening with these kids, and you see it, once they make a mistake, they want to make up for it, and then they make a bigger one. And that's exactly what happened with Corey Horsburgh. Horsburgh obviously got his shot because he wasn't picked in the first week back, and then he gets a chance, and he went too hard. And I've got to commend Ricky because the easy thing to do would be to drop him and put in Trey Mooney because of how good he's done. But I think you'll notice this too. Ricky gives him a second chance.
Yeah.
He always does.
Yeah. People were worried that Savage might get dropped, you know, but Ricky's stuck by him, I think, which is good because he's made so much progress in so many areas.
I don't think Savage gets dropped this year. I don't think he gets dropped this year. I think he's too much of a point of difference. And even if he plays like that again this week, they'll figure it out. But
yeah, because I mean, even if you look at the start when we did get the points, one try came off the back of a great run from him.
By Danny Levi, yeah.
where he's kind of picked the gap and landed on his foot, got the quick play of the ball. And then the other try, he sort of made something out of nothing. One thing's honest, when we were on the try line and we made errors, you know, in those first 5 minutes, was those face balls, like a meter away from a defender, just like kind of a hiding to nothing. The guys that had to take the ball.
That's the ones. Yeah, they're the ones that Hutto's dropped. He dropped that in the Warriors.
And Smithies had some issues there as well. Like those passes, just like, that was like, I mean, as Ricky said, it was no one played well. I think Joe Tarpany definitely played well. And I think, you know, I think other players did okay. But for a lot of players, that was definitely their worst. For 90% of the players, that was their worst performance this year.
Oh, by far. And they're still trying to figure it out how to get some of our strike weapons early ball. And you can tell. Like they'll just pass it to Tomoko off the back of a scrum.
Yeah, it's nothing.
Or they'll just pass it to Seb Chris or Savage off the back of a scrum. Seb Chris is good when he's running downhill and he can get on the outside shoulder.
Yeah.
Tomoko's good when he can square up a man. And if it's a really easy read off the back of a scrum, they just slide. You know, it's going to be interesting to see this weekend because we face different opposition, especially out wide. You know, Mike Sivo is not Motala, and he's not going to try and beat you on the outside with pace. He's going to, you know, try and muscle up, and Schiller will have his hands full. But
yeah, definitely,
it's a fascinating matchup we have this weekend. But that game,
I think, is Mike Sivo normally on? No, Mike Sivo is on their left.
On the left, so he'll face Schiller.
Yeah.
But that game, the Sharks were shit.
Oh, they were awful
by a lot.
They were awful.
Don't let anyone convince you otherwise. And look, Ricky, and this is another,
they made more errors. I mean, I know our errors, right, will probably happen in more crucial points of the field and at more crucial times, but they made 12 errors to our 11. So they were far from good. I think the real turning point though was, like, we looked pretty good when Taps was on the field, but as Ricky said in the press conference, when Solo and Big Red came on, And then they had Jack Williams, who was the guy we're talking about last week that used to play for the Raiders, was the Raiders under 20s player of the year of 2016 or whatever. He came on and after he comes on after 20 minutes, I think he then played like 60 minutes straight. He ran for over 170 meters. And yeah, and so the other one was McGuinness. Cam McGuinness.
McGuinness. And who was the other player? Tupoa, what was his name?
Oh yeah.
The guy
big,
that
Big Tooks.
Yeah, he didn't start great, but then when Tarpany went off, we couldn't handle him. He stepped up. So they clearly decided to attack when our two best props went off. And sadly, you know, we were all excited about Horse's first game back. He didn't play that well. So he'll play better this weekend. And Solo, you know, wasn't great. And Smithies obviously was probably pretty gassed. But it was funny to watch them because you could see that thing that we saw a few times last year, that kind of fear in their eyes, that kind of like, shit, this is not going the way that we, the panic is probably a better word. And just to get back to it, my ass clown, I forgot, does this man even exist? Because I know Pork hates him. Eamon Tierman.
Like, he's real.
What the hell is...
He's real.
Eamon, I hope you hear this somehow, and I hope you reach out. What the hell are you writing about Ricky's presser? You fucking idiot.
He's got an axe. He's got a... Because he was the guy that... Tim's old mate. He was the one that Ricky went off at Wollongong after Nick Kotrick got sent off for the spear tackle. Nick Kotrick said to him, if you think that's a spear tackle, you shouldn't be writing about rugby league. And ever since then, Eamon Tiernan has had an axe to grind against Ricky. And so he writes these clickbaity articles. You know, Ricky blows up. He didn't blow up at all. He was very measured under the circumstances. He said, we were awful. And that full credit to the Sharks. They did well, you know. And then
full credit to Fitzgibbon and to their reserve grade. Yeah. Like he couldn't have been more complimentary.
This is the thing about, and when you looked at the New South Wales Cup, you saw this as well. But that was effectively the Newtown pack that we were coming up against. And we should have, by all rights, you know, rolled them. And we didn't at all.
No. At 18-0, I thought we've played terrible. It's 18-0. We're going to win 34-0. And it's alarming because that performance we put in on the weekend was wooden spoon-esque, honestly. It wasn't good. Mm. And I've seen us put on better performances than 90% of the teams in the competition. So I know that we won't get the spoon, but that team got a spray.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
And they got a massive spray after the game. Because
apparently New South Wales Cup did as well. Because
it wasn't acceptable. It wasn't professional. It wasn't professional at all.
No, I like what Ricky's done because he's given him a spray. He's given all the players. He hasn't dropped anyone. The only changes have been enforced changes. And he's given them all, you know, an opportunity to redeem themselves. But if, you know, we don't have a good performance against the Eels, you know, there's going to have to, some heads will definitely roll. I mean, for once this week, we're the team coming off the terrible defeat because the last 2 weeks, we've kind of been the team, you know, we've been playing teams that, well, the Warriors were 0-2, you know, and then Sharks were coming off a drubbing as well, the Tigers. So at least this time we're the team coming off
the embarrassing loss.
Yeah.
The Eels weren't great though. They were up against a pretty, I think, pretty average Tiger side. And I mean, we can get into that Eels game in a little bit because there's some interesting statistics when it comes to the way that we match up against them actually.
Hi, it's former Canberra Raiders captain Alan Tung here. And you know, I don't actually go in footy tipping comps. But if I did, I'd tip the Raiders every week.
So we've probably pretty much clearly indicated who we're giving the $10 Land Speed Records voucher to this week, but it's Joe Tarpany. Head and shoulders, I thought, the Raiders' best player.
100%.
Yeah. And didn't stop trying and looked really good. And like I said, I think we hope Ricky went aside and said, that wasn't about you, mate. You can hold your head up high.
It wasn't you, it's me.
So those other mongrels. So yeah, let's have a look at the team that's been named.
Yeah, well, they play what on the Raiders? We get to play Power on Sunday. It's going to be a pretty interesting game there. I think reserve grade plays before. And looking at the team list here, it's as we've already said, it's pretty straightforward. So Raps is at fullback. Schiller's still on the wing with Tomoko inside him. Seb Chris is on the other wing with Savage outside of him. Seb Chris is in the center, sorry, with Savage outside of him.
Mm-hmm.
Ethan Strange, who I thought actually played pretty decent.
He did.
He was probably one of our better players on the weekend with Fogarty.
He did some good good defense up against. I had Talakai running him as well for some of the time.
Yeah.
Did some pulled off some good tackles.
Fogarty's playing at seven. Papali'i at eight. Danny Levi, yes, at nine.
Oh,
And
Levi
Tarpany's the
Ireland.
captain again at 10. Hudson Young at 11. And Adam Mariotta is starting at 12. It's interesting.
A shock pick for a lot of people, but you had said to me during the off season you'd actually heard that he did spend a fair bit of time
Yeah.
training on the edge, because we obviously, especially before we managed to get Hoskins, we were definitely pretty skinny on that edge depth
Yeah,
wise.
and one of the guys on the bench is actually one of the reasons we've
Yeah.
covered that. But they noticed that we were skinny there, and that Mariotta actually has a little bit of lateral movement in attack and defence. So they in Cup last year they started training him a bit there, and they were looking to sort of get him in the off season, getting used to that position. So Morgan Smithies keeps 13. Tom Starling, he owns that number 14 jersey at the Raiders at the moment. Horse gets another shot. Now coming off the bench, I thought it was pretty fascinating that he was the first person to come on.
He was a
So
horse.
so rather than last weekend, rather than Mariota or Solo, Horse was the first to come on. Horse
But so,
spelled
because then he went,
Papali'i.
but then, so he came on as a middle, but then he sort of went to 13, didn't he, when Smithies came
Smithies,
off?
yeah. Pasami Solo's got the 17 jersey. Para, it's pretty fascinating. Para, the only change they've got is Bailey Simonson. So they've
Oh,
got
no.
Pink up.
Another Bailey Simonson revenge game.
Yeah, no, he's played good
Our
last time,
record
Steve.
against him, I think, since he's been there. Our
Their
record against Parramatta, it's five from the last seven.
captain is Killen Gutherson with his old hips. Does he still do that, where he like does the hip shimmy when he
Hope you
scores
don't.
and sticks his hands
Well,
out?
hopefully we don't see it. Hopefully we don't see it.
What a wanker. The world's biggest
Don't be a
wanker
hater,
isn't
man.
playing for
Don't be a
them.
hater.
Oh, mate. One of the reasons why Parramatta have a good record against us is because we don't have a giant screen that Mitchell Moses can watch a replay when he's playing. Because
He
Jesus, he
does
likes
do
to
his
hand it
Mitchell
off.
Moses does do his best work at combat, and the
He
screen there
does,
is huge. It's huge.
because he likes
But
watching
that's
himself.
since they started playing at combat. That's his theater of dreams. That's when he's really, I think, gone to another level. Like
Who wouldn't
normal,
want
like
to
they
play there
lost.
though?
Yeah, they lost obviously against the Tigers there, because it's, Tigers, one of the Tigers' seven home grounds as well. But yeah, Jared, they're
King
pretty.
Gutho had a kick to win it though.
Yeah.
Big Micah is on the wing, and he'll be going up against James Schiller, which will be interesting. Will Penasini and Bailey Simonson in the centres. Sean Russell, who was kicking early in that game on the weekend, and then they went to Gutho, which is interesting.
Sean
Blair
Russell, the
Stellamy
man that
gets.
ran down Xavier Savage
Yeah, well,
whilst
that's.
playing for the Toon Gabby thirds in the
Yeah,
trial.
shout out, Paul. Blaze gets another shot with Dylan Brown playing half, which I think is good for us. Campbell Gillard and Junior Paulo are their props. Joey Lussick, who, fascinating though, because it means Brendan Hands has actually dropped off the extended bench. He's in
Yeah,
the extended bench. So Joey Lussick.
he's dropped down the pecking order this year.
Yeah, they can't figure it out. And what's different this weekend is Sean Lane and Ryan Madison are on their edges, and Jermaine Hopgood starts. Last weekend, Tuilagi started. So Hopgood starts at 13, he's probably their best 13.
Yeah,
Luka
great player.
Moretti, Wurumu Greg, who played good against us last year. Joey Ofengawe, who, he's a bit of a journeyman. He's been around the clock. He's played at Brisbane and at the Tigers. And Kelmer, who's a bit of he's a bit of a liability in defence, actually.
Yeah, right. Maybe that's why Manly
He's,
won't let him go.
yeah, he's a great attacking footballer, but he just can't tackle.
Speaking of someone else who Manly let go, he's on the extended bench, Morgan Harper.
Morgan Harper.
Yeah.
He looks different with his haircut. So
No, he's not the
this
same. He's lost his
shout out to
magic.
Pork. So the extended bench for Parramatta, we've got Afahiki Ogden. It's Harper Hardwick. Can't be
Yeah, I
Hardwick.
don't know.
Dejan Arcee.
Half
That's
Hardwick.
not even Harper Hardwick. Brendan Hands, Harper Hardwick. Mackay Hesse-Makatoa,
Half
Harper
Hardwick.
Hardwick, and Morgan Harbour.
No Hardwicks.
Hardwick?
No
No Hardwick.
Hardwicks.
KO Weeks, Harper. Nick Kotrick, one. Trey Mooney, Harper, Zach Wolford, Harper, and Emre Guler, three Hardwicks. We win that
Emre
one.
at
the rest.
New South Wales Cup had a very mixed. Did you watch
Yeah,
any?
I
You couldn't
heard.
say so you couldn't watch the New South Wales Cup because of the
Nah, that's stupid
because of
app
the
that
of
New South
the
Wales.
yeah.
Everyone in Australia is complaining about the app. Try getting on that app from the States. It just doesn't work.
We got to get
And the ref's
something
Adam
lower to.
G.
Oh, Adam G's normally all right. I actually quite
I'm
like,
glad we've got Adam G, man, because that game on the weekend, I was telling you, like, we the referee just wouldn't let us have any say in the ruck defensively.
Casey Badger is the video referee as well, and she's normally, I reckon, pretty much the best video referee as well. So, you know, those things go in our favour.
Look, I think Adam Ariotz is gonna, he's probably gonna have a pretty big game on the edge. They're gonna attack our edges. It's they're gonna go straight through Sean Lane. He's gonna play on the left. He's gonna be attacking Fogarty and, and Adder if Adder's playing on that side. So it's all about our defense there. Like for all the love for Zach Hosking, he has let in a few line breaks there. So who knows? And we really need our bench forwards to step up, because, you know, you shouldn't be losing a game from 18-0 up.
No. Like,
it just shouldn't happen.
So I reckon what will happen, though, is Adam will probably play 20 minutes, a la Elliot Whitehead, and then Simi Sasungi will come on. So we sign him. So this is he becomes Raider number 395 this week. He's only 22, but he played a bunch of games for the Knights. We signed him from the Knights. He didn't play any first grade last year. He played New South Wales Cup, but he played a bunch of games for the Knights in 2022. And when he was at Knights, he was either a six or a center. But when we signed him again, he's someone else that, because obviously we identified that we lacked edge forwards. The team that turned him into an edge, and he's been doing a great job.
Yeah, I like seeing. I know we've got Adder who's gone the other way, but I do like seeing a centre come to the edge, because you know they've got the speed.
Well, he's got good hands and he's fast. Yeah.
And he made that great line break on the weekend in New South Wales Cup and set up that try. So I'm excited to see him get his shot. He kind of seemed down the pecking order with some of our signings in the off season, but he's certainly impressed everyone. So and who knows, Hosking might be out this week, and we don't know how long Elliot Whitehead's out. So
I reckon Elliot Whitehead's back next week. I thought they'd rush Elliot Whitehead back for this game, but yeah, obviously the calf is still no good.
It's hard to rush a calf, but this has been the issue with us playing. When we play Parramatta every year, there's two things that we've always struggled with. Mitchell Moses is kicking game, which we don't have to worry about, and they're offloading. And once again this year, offloading is they're the number one offloading side in the competition.
Yeah, right.
By a long way, and we're not even half. Nearly every other statistic, we match up. So possession, they're number one with 54%. We're number two with 53%. Set completion, we're equal number one with Parramatta at 84%.
Yeah, it's going down every week. It's going down that week every
after last weekend, of course. And then everything else, we're kind of ranked either between fifth and seventh.
The one that always hurts is the last few times we played them is Dylan Brown has like run the ball. Like, I reckon the last couple of times they've beaten us, he's run for like 250 meters or something crazy.
Yeah, he's kind of the modern day Benji Marshall for us.
Yeah.
He's that one of those players that we just can't seem to handle, but he's now having to be the dominant half. So it might be a little bit different than having him with Moses. You know, I remember watching us play them at GIO, and we dominate field position, and then Moses would just boot the ball.
Yeah.
And that must be like what it means watching us now with Fogarty kicking the ball. But their offloads, I mean, they've got 59 offloads this season, and I think we have 34. So
yeah, right. Wow. Not
quite double, but if we can lock up
Junior
Paulo,
that's hard.
Yeah. It goes a long way, because we in the past we've struggled with second phase play. I think a lot of teams do, and our bigger pack does. It's going to be slightly different with Morgan Smithies in the middle,
because
he kind of cuts them down. So, you know, we kind of match up well with them. And look, I'm no analyst. I thought we were going to win last weekend 13 plus, and after 15 minutes, I was like,
I told people to put their house on it. Oh yeah, I told my friend to bet for 13 plus and Savage and Timoko to score tries. And after Savage went in and it was 18-0, I said, we only need Timoko now. And then,
I had the same bet. I had 13 plus. No, I had Raiders to win, Timoko, Savage, Kennedy.
And Danny Levi. If you had Danny Levi there as well,
I should have.
The odds would have been huge. And you would have, Danny Levi, that's three tries out of out of four games, four games. Even if he did probably not ground that ball. But anyway, we won't worry too much about that. So yeah, I don't, this is gonna be an incredibly tough game. I'm normally pretty confident. This is the least confident I've been probably of all the games so far this year. I wasn't super confident against the Warriors, but I was pretty hopeful. But I don't know, there's certain teams that seem to have just match up, you know, differently. And I just have the feeling like the Eels have our number.
We do have a bad record against the Eels. We've been beaten by them a lot. A couple of those games are in Darwin when we used to have to go up there. We beat them last year in Canberra. But prior to that,
didn't we lose? We beat them on the Gold Coast, you know, the Rapa murdering Mike Asiba on the bell. But we beat them since then.
Going back over the results, we beat the Toon Gabby thirds in at the preseason. But
yeah, we're not counting that.
At GIO last year in round 11, 26-18, we won.
Oh, did we really?
Combank 2022, round 27, we got pumped 40-4. That was the game where Savage scored that long distance try. Yeah.
Semi-final, that was bad.
Yeah, so round 27, it says there, shouldn't say that.
There is no round 27 yet.
No. So earlier that year at GIO, we lost 28-20.
Yeah, that was the one where Dylan Brown, I think, ran.
Yeah. And then you're thinking of the game at Seabus, which was 12-10 in 2020.
Yeah. We beat them another time when Blake Ferguson was on the wing.
35-10 we lost.
What was the game where we beat them at GIO? Was that 2019 or 2020?
2019, 19-0. So,
yeah.
Really, the last 6 games, 7 games, we've only won 2.
Yeah, 2 out of last 7, yeah.
It's
going to be tough. Raiders by 1-12, that's my prediction.
Raiders by 56 is mine.
We'll see. Well, you've heard our views. Let's hear from a good friend of the show, Arnie J.
G'day, Raiders fans. Well, we looked like a top 4 side for about 20 minutes last week and then wooden spooners for the last 55. Back to the real bad old days. I would have liked to have seen a few players drop this week, but plenty of fans disagree. So happy to watch and see, and I may have to eat humble pie for dessert on Sunday night. Para at home this week, and certainly a game we can win if we play well. We do have a few pluses and minuses to tackle, though. They have a pretty good run meter game. All of their back 5 put in, and they don't mind a tackle bust either, so we need to cramp them for room and make our tackles stick. Morgan Harper is out, which is really good for them, but makes our life harder. Their forwards have some really big but slow bodies, so we need to soak them up for 65 minutes. Hit them hard near our line so they can't fall over 5 metres out to score. When we have the ball, I want to see some support runners, short balls and angled runs, as sideways movement is hard for them. If we can do that, then at that 65-minute mark, Tom Starling can run rings around them around the ruck. Final point to make is that both Brown and Talagi love to run the ball. Our first thought should be tackle with both of them as opposed to them passing. So we have another 6 p.m. Sunday game. I hope all the players have a very quiet Friday night, drinking lemonade on the couch with their partners or significant others. Save all that energy for night clubbing on another Friday night or on the weekend, as it looks like everything is closed in Canberra on Sundays. Enjoy your week and go, you green machine.
Who's got lift?
Who?
Very good.
Everyone.
Well, yeah, it's the Cam Sullings, everyone, definitely. It's also Hudson Young. I just want to see Hudson Young just run hard and get a quick play the ball. You know, just
I agree.
Get back to basics.
I agree.
Because there's too much with him. He's sort of catching the ball, then he's kind of stopping as he gets to the line, then trying to like push off, you know, the first tackle, and then another 3 people end up coming in and he's on his back. And Like when we were talking about play the ball speeds and who had the good play the ball speeds and everything else, of the forwards, his is the worst. It's consistently the worst.
One of the things that Parramatta, I mean, the Sharks did, and Dan at Sportress spoke about it, is they went two shifts left, quick play the ball, three shifts right. And we don't have that consistency. And how awesome was it for us to watch Zach Hosking for the first few rounds of the year when he would hit that hard line, get on the ground, he'd get back up and play the ball. And then suddenly we've got a little bit of ruck speed. You know, Tomoko might get a run after that, or, you know, someone might come in. We're not getting that down our left.
No, and that's the back rower. That's like 101. Mm-hmm. You know, you look at Boyd Cordner. He pretty much had one thing he did every single time, but he was damn good at it.
Straight, yeah, inside shoulder.
Yeah,
and Hudson can do it. We've seen him score multitude of tries that way. Sometimes I think we're overcomplicating the game. And one of the great things about having hard line running edge forwards is it allows you to change the focal point and suck their defensive line a certain way and then actually try and get that 4-on-3 on the other side. And we're just not getting that. And we're relying on one-on-one misses to score points as opposed to stripping them. Well, we did a little bit in the Balmain game, but it'd be interesting to see the way that we attack because, you know, Ryan Madison's going to be defending on the edge and he's not a great edge defender. So they'll definitely, and Sean Lane's defensive numbers aren't amazing.
Yeah.
So I think
a lot of it's going to depend on whether we can. Is Bryce Cartwright injured?
Yeah, he's out.
Yeah, because he's actually
named last weekend. Yeah.
Right. But he didn't play.
And he was never going to play. He's out 4 to 6 weeks, even though they named him. Because you can only get away with that bullshit once. You know what I mean? Like, you name him to try and throw Balmain off in that game, and then he doesn't play, and everyone's like, oh, great, he's not going to play. But I'm sure we're going to go back to what we did in the first couple of rounds. Simple game, try and get some quick play of the balls, and then see. We're going to see the same thing, guys. We're going to see those face balls in the first 20 minutes.
Yeah, got to catch them.
And then some early ball to Tomoko. And
you're right, though. If you look at the tries that we do score, it's like Timoko just pushing off his direct man away. It's not really...
Or Savage.
Yeah, getting around by them. Yeah, it's not really those sort of shifts that you see.
Well, it's because we're going through the middle a bit more too, right? And we still haven't quite figured out our 13. And I'm not saying Smithies is not.
Everyone was high on Smithies after the first few rounds, and now everyone's like, "Oh, he's the one stifling our attack and everything else." I don't think he was the problem.
And when I say we haven't figured out our 13, I'm not saying he's not the man. I'm just saying he's not linking up the way that I know he will in say 2 months. You know what I mean? Like he's still throwing a couple of forward passes.
Yeah.
He's still hitting the front man when he could have hit the back man. We could have scored a try early on in that game against the Sharks where I think Fogarty went to the front guy rather than out the back. And it happened in the week before where we could have gone out the back and we would have had a 3-on-1.
Mm.
So they still haven't quite figured that out. And that's not easy when Chris is in, then Chris is out and Chris is in. Cause you know,
Chris was very quiet. I mean, wouldn't say he was bad against the Sharks, but there were times where I just forgot he was out there.
We've struggled against Jesse Ramian in the past.
Yeah. Oh, always.
He's got that real heavy contact. Now he gets under our skin. Molotala does the same. I fucking hate Molotala, man. He's such a bitch. Oh, every good time he's tackled, I don't know. But it's what a blight on that game on the weekend when our two best players are Tarpany and Rapana. Like a 34-year-old fullback is having to show the kids effort. So you'd have to see a bounce back this weekend. If we don't, then we can start looking at.
This game, I mean, I don't want to say round five is season defining, but it's going to say so much about it.
It's going to say a lot about their character and the connection that they have with each other and the connection they have with the coaching staff. And if they don't, I mean, look, every team's going to make mistakes. And we might come out and make these mistakes again this weekend, but there was just some of those dumb errors that we saw. There was just some switching off and just some complacency, which... you know, you can't have in first grade, and they'll learn that because we let a team win. We let a team back into that game that we should never have.
Yeah. 0-2 and 3 versus 3-2. Yeah, it feels like it's a real defining point of the season.
Yeah, well, we should be 3-1. So, but we've blown, you know, we've blown other games.
Should be 4-0.
No, yeah, I guess Tarpany did score that try, didn't he? But you know, we get to play at home. It's going to be nice weather. So I think it's going to be shitty weather in Sydney, isn't it? So hopefully it's going to be nice in Canberra, and you know, get out there.
Yeah, it should be a big crowd anyway. The Eels are one of those teams that they always get a lot of. There's a lot of Parramatta fans in Canberra, and there's probably a few. Sunday night's a bit of a tricky time slot for people to travel down for, but. There should be a lot of Parramatta Eels fans, and if we could just get like just one high pitched para, you used to watch 80s games. There's always the para. There's always little kids.
So the Raiders we play in the afternoon, and prior to that, the New South Wales Cup play before, which is going to be interesting, and we're in second position after the tie on the weekend, draw I should say, not a tie.
Yes,
and the Eels, who were usually pretty good actually, but they're actually coming 13th. So.
I think it's a bit of a case of swings and roundabouts with reserves, you know, how many like players you've brought up, or, you know, there's sort of a bit of a generation shift where sort of teams can sort of be good one year and then, you know, for whatever reason, a bunch of players.
Or if you have to go and play, like some teams, you know, they might have to play in New Zealand and they don't have the luxury of sending players back to come play that following game. So,
yeah.
But, you know, there's obviously some consistency in the club, and be sitting second, you have to think, you know, we might be a good day out there, and the Eels are actually last. They haven't won a game. So we should get some joy.
Yeah, so watching that New South Wales Cup game against Newtown, which is the Sharks reserve grade or whatever else, yeah, that was disappointing. Apparently Ricky wasn't happy. He said in the press conference he wasn't happy with that effort either. The scores were leveled. And, you know, with like 2 minutes to go, we had a set right on their line, didn't set up for a field goal at all.
It's old Raiders.
It was classic. It was the Raiders DNA going down from red. So frustrating to watch. And then Sharks had a chance and Niue, who's the brother of Apu, twin brother, he had a shot and he almost got it over.
Oh, see, really?
That was disappointing. Trey Mooney was very good in that game. Looked very good, as did Hohepa Puru as well. They stood out. Osamua, not great. Not great. The effort was there.
He's still young.
He's like, he's another hopper in that he's always looked going for a carry, tough carry, you know, but it was probably his worst game the season.
How was Zach Wolford?
Zach Wolford looked good. Zach looked Wolford. He had a couple of bad moments he had a couple of bad moments with some of his passing. I thought when we were attacking on the line, he dropped a ball, and there was a couple of times the last tackle where Cook, you know, didn't get the best service. But then in the second half, he was just making huge inroads up the middle. But you know, it's like when you look at how players go in New South Wales Cup, you got to kind of, I guess, keep in mind that they're coming up against, you know, inferior opponents.
Yeah,
so you can look Zach Wolford. You can look Zach Wolford. You know, made good yards in that game, running from dummy half. But I mean, if you probably put Tommy Starling, you know, in that position, he would have carved up. So. Or yeah,
I mean, that's his old club too, isn't it? Zach played for Newtown.
He did.
So I'm sure you.
But he wasn't even. So when he was playing for Newtown and we brought him up, he wasn't like a Shark. He was like one of those blokes that just signed to Newtown. That was the same with Josh Mansour last year. He was playing just for Newtown. He wasn't actually part of the Sharks.
Have you ever been to Henson Park?
No.
Oh man, it's a great place to go watch a game.
Yeah,
you've got to do it.
The crowd was into it in this game. The commentator was hilarious. You've never heard anyone get so many players' names wrong. He's like, and KO Weeks is taking a hit up now. It's like, oh, no, that's Trey Mooney. And then Simi Sasagi. He kept on changing his pronunciations.
They still serve that beer there. That's
Young Henry's.
What is it? Yeah, there's another beer there that's from the 80s that you can get there, and
Reshes.
They still, yeah, that's not just not just Silver Bullets, but they also at the end of each game, you know, with 5 minutes to go, when they read out the crowd figures, they still read out what the crowd was at the very last game, which is like, you know, 7,000 or something. Yeah, yeah. So the very last Newtown Blue Bags game, it's great. And you can, you know, you sit on the hill and there's.
I don't think the last Newtown game though. I don't think the last Newtown game was there. Do you know where I think it was? I think it was actually at Campbelltown. I think last minute when Newtown was going down the gurgle, they proposed, they said to the league that they'd move to Campbelltown.
Campbelltown.
Yeah, but it didn't work out. You know, the problem with Newtown was it became like a sort of a hipster area, and there's not, you know, there's not that many rugby league players. But there's these days all the hipsters go to watch Newtown play.
A mate of mine, Tim Richards and Terry, they used to live, they backed onto Henson Park. So we go watch every game. If you haven't been there, you got to go, guys. It's like just, it's rugby league history and all the stuff they're crapping on about with Leichhardt. And, you know, I personally think the Tigers eventually will have to leave Leichhardt. But, you know, there's still a place in it. You know, play preseason games there. Maybe play one game a year there.
Play a couple of games there a year, I reckon. Against like it probably would be the Raiders or a Cowboys or some, you know, someone that like
not going to have a lot of traveling fans and
exactly, and that's what they play that game against the Eels. You know, get 30,000 at CommBank or whatever. You know, you don't want to shut out 12,000 people or 15,000 people. But I went,
they make $700,000 at that game, where a game of Leichhardt they might make 200. So it's not even the same ballpark.
Yeah. Merchandise. So we got some Blake and the Pork stickers. I should show them over the camera so you can see what they look like. They turned out much smaller than I thought they were going to be. But we got a special offer at the moment. We buy a Raiders by 56 beanie, and I'll throw in a bunch of stickers as well. So I put that offer up on Twitter last night, and a bunch of people ordered beanies. Shout out to all those guys. Quite a few in Queensland again. I don't know. You got to be committed, Blake and the Pork listener, to wear a Raiders by 56 beanie in sunny Queensland. So, yeah, jump on landspeed.com.au. No.
But
sometimes it's raining.
Sometimes it's raining and climate change. Sometimes it's cold up there. No, but the Raiders have got a lot of fans everywhere, which is great. And obviously, you know, we've got a lot of listeners, which is awesome. And I know you guys are all probably wondering where Pork is. We miss him, and we look to have him back next week. Long weekend. It's Easter, obviously, this weekend. So he's had a nice weekend down with his family, I think. And I don't know. Have you got any reasons to be cheerful, Blake, after last weekend?
Yeah, look, you know, I'm hopeful we'll turn it around. I don't know if that's really a reason to be cheerful. I'm trying to remain optimistic, but that game really did suck. It sucked the oxygen out of the room. It was like a kick in the guts. And when they started coming back after we'd gone up to 18-0 down, I was like, oh, no. And everyone, the calls, you know, the faders, they're back again. Just when we've gone away from that stuff. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I guess you can't expect a squad that, you know, at the beginning of the year, most people outside of Pork were saying likely to finish anywhere near the top eight. And then they surprised everyone with their dedication. And it's not going to be like that every week, right? It's rugby league. It's not easy. It takes an incredible effort to be able to play a game of rugby league and to be able to stay up for 3 or 4 weeks. It's not easy, so I guess we can't expect them to be like that. And they are human, and they're kids too. Like, they're young, so you know they've got a chance to redeem themselves for each other, not for us. They don't owe us anything. You know, we pay to watch them, and we enjoy their entertainment. And we were so excited and surprised by how good they were the first few weeks. We just want them to get back to that. So I have a feeling they will. I have a feeling we might play pretty well against Parra this weekend.
You'd love to see it. You know, it's a bit like last year, though, when we had that game against the Broncos and that great performance. And I went, that was such a great performance, but we did it by, like, sort of redlining the engine.
Yeah, I know.
And when you're just building everything on maximum effort, you know, and focus, it's hard to maintain that intensity every single week. And we definitely sort of drop off for whatever reason. We saw a drop off last week, so hopefully we get back to the good stuff at home against the Eels. Whatever platform you're listening to, most people are listening on Spotify or iTunes. Subscribe, that way you won't miss an episode. This is probably our last episode for a while. That's going to come out on a Thursday. We're going to try and come out on Wednesdays moving forward. And give us a rating, give us a review. We got a review on iTunes during the week. Matt, do you want me to read it to you? Well, Tim, it's probably a good one to read while Tim's not here. So I'll just find it.
Well, while Blake's trying to find that, coming up, we've got obviously Parra this weekend, and then we stay at home and we play the Titans, which you'd have to think is a win. And then we're away to Brisbane, who are struggling a little bit at the moment. And you know, I see Reece Walsh with his headgear, but who knows whether he'll be back.
Yeah.
And then we get a redemption game against the Sharks at home, and then we play Manly at Brookie, and then we have the bye. So that's what, five games after this week.
None of them sound easy. I guess it's the so when do we play the Titans?
After
or the
Parra.
Dolphins, or I guess those are teams we play less.
Mm-hmm.
So here's the review on iTunes. Raiders fan, and the name of the person that did it, Make a Wish Art. Good name. It's a good podcast. Love listening. Pork's obsession with Whitehead and the boys' club can be frustrating at times. Overall, I enjoy it and look forward to it. Well, thanks for that review. And yeah, if someone else wants to jump on, give us a review, we'll read it out. So there's an incentive.
And we'll come up with another poll for you this week.
Yeah, what's your poll? Matt's poll of the week in listener engagement.
What can my poll be?
I gave you homework.
Did you? I don't remember.
Yeah,
that.
I said, I texted you, I said, come up with a poll.
All right. Who do you want to see as our bench forwards, our bench rotation after this week? We'll put it in.
That's a hard one to do on Twitter when you've only got like four options.
So you can't put eight options. Okay. Should we sign Colonel Sanders?
We're going to have to think. So you're going to have to go away, Matt. And between now and next week, come up with a fucking good poll question, because that was garbage. You started off with two great ones. You know, got a huge response, but yeah. We're all about listener engagement. We're all about listener engagement. All righty. Well, that pretty much brings us to a close for this week. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back next week with the pork. I'm Blake.
I'm Leno.
See ya.
Blake and the pork. Blake and the pork.